All right. Good morning, Melbourne Church. Right. You know, I looked at the extended weather forecast, and it's supposed to be 70 degrees for Christmas this week. So I thought, well, some people like to see this kind of weather during the year, so I thought I would at least give us the imagination of a little bit of snow on a 70-degree week. Gifts. You know, I think about gifts this time of year. I went to TJ Maxx this last week. And it was so crowded that I had to walk through the store strategically and turn just right to get by people without turning, you know, without bumping into them. And, you know, all these gifts. I decided to do a little shopping at Cabela's over the internet, and it was a lot less crowded, and I appreciated that. You know, just come home and they're sitting on the doorstep ready for you. But as I've thought about giving. Over these last 2 weeks, I have figured out something that I have not put together before. There are four different types of Christmas presents. The first one is a gift for a gift. You know, somebody gives you a gift and you give them one in return. And I've actually caught myself trying to keep up with how much someone spends on their gift for me. And then I feel guilty if I don't buy one close to the same value. You know, that's a gift for a gift. But then there's the gift that's given for a favor. You know, sometimes we buy gifts for those that have done a favor for us, and we feel obligated to pay them back. And we don't really want to be the one who has had something done for us without attempting to pay the person back sometimes. I've also learned that there is a gift of obligation. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about on this one. You have to buy a gift for that person every year, whether you want to or not. You know, there's an obligation underneath it. And I've spent miserable hours walking around stores trying to find a gift for that person. And you don't know what to buy them. You know, you bought them a can opener last year. You know, maybe a fruitcake this year. You know, it's just like it's an obligation. And I'm not trying to pick on TJ Maxx, but when you walk in their front door, there is a table with a bunch of useless junk on it tempting you as soon as you walk in, and it draws you right to it. And it is the cheapest junk you can possibly buy that nobody wants. I mean, you got things for women here that are perfumes that they don't want to wear. It's very affordable. Kids have 5-minute toys on that table. You know, they last for about 5 minutes and they're either broke or they're discarded. Okay? Then you have ties for all the dads and they're going to wear them once to make the kid feel good. Okay? That's the obligation table. And that's an obligation kind of gift. But there's a much better gift that I got to thinking about. And I call that the grace gift. The grace gift. And this is the kind of gift where you reevaluate your thinking through your motives for why you're giving the gift to begin with. And we're going to start this morning by taking a look at what Scripture teaches about giving through the lens of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. You can't hear nothing? Let me try putting in a live battery. We're going to hit the pause button there for a second. I knew that battery had been in there for a long time. Can you hear me now? All right, we got thumbs up all around the room. I can hear me now, too. When you can't hear yourself coming back, people, this is a good note for everybody that does prayers and stand. If you cannot hear yourself coming back, nobody else can either. So make sure you can hear yourself whenever you're speaking. Thank you very much for letting me know that. I was carried away. I was ready to get into Matthew, so whether anybody heard me or not. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And he told these wise men, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child." Now, a lot could be said about this, but in short, these wise men traveled about 300 miles. I don't know if they were on foot, on camel, what they were on, but they were not in a car. And 300 miles is a long trip going across the desert. They had no idea where they were going because they were following a star. And do you know what kind of a sacrifice it is for three men to stop and ask for directions? They didn't do that. Okay? They went way out of their way, guys. They went way out of their way. And the text says they offered the gift of worship. And you know, that journey, have you ever taken a trip that didn't cost anything? No, you haven't. At bare minimum, you've got gas money. Then whenever you ruin a tire, you got to have that fixed on the trip. And more expense, food expense, and on and on and on. Man, traveling, I hate leaving my house because it costs so much money. And it cost these men something. It cost them their time. It cost them their effort. It cost them their money. And it cost a lot of their heart and their preparation for this journey. And the very first thing that we see is that these wise men, they gave sacrificially. They gave sacrificially. They didn't do it superficially. They did it sacrificially. Now, that's a grace gift. That's a grace gift. It was freely and sacrificially given with absolutely nothing expected in return. And I love that about this text. And it wasn't a gift of obligation. It was a true gift of sacrifice, and it had a little bit of heart and soul in it. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about gifts that cost money, but we sacrifice something and we take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of us to give from our hearts. That's the kind of grace gift I'm talking about. And it could be something that costs money. I'm not knocking that. But it also could be something that is a sacrifice of time and effort. But the bottom line is that it's a gift from a part of who you are. It comes from deep within. And it's got a little bit of heart and a little bit of soul in it. You know, it's not just a box with something in it. But what if your wife opened up a huge package and there was just this tiny piece of paper in it that says, "Honey, because I love you so much, I'm going to do the laundry for the entire month of January." Amen. Now, you wives may not believe that could ever happen, but that's possible. It's possible. But what if your husband opens up a package and you've written a letter telling him how much he really means to you and why you're so glad that you chose him to be your husband? Now, that's an amazing gift. But what if you go wash your car or your neighbor's car once a month for a full year? What if you stopped in to visit someone once a month for a year that normally doesn't have any visitors and you have some real meaningful conversation and connections? I mean, I don't know about you, but that sounds better than a can opener, okay? And I love the way this unfolds in the narrative of Scripture. The question that comes to my mind is, what can I give that has a little heart and soul in it? What can I really give like that? Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. After this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. So the next thing we see is that the wise men physically went to Jesus. And that lets us know something. Number two, the wise men gave personally. They didn't mail it in by FedEx. They didn't send it by another person. there was a personal touch to the gift that they gave to Jesus, to Mary, and to Joseph. And that's a grace gift because it's given by the giver. It's given by the giver. And it includes the person, and there's a high value in that personal relationship, and it just recognizes the importance of other people. So what can you give that's personal like that? What can you really give that's personal? Well, there's a lot of verses to look at, but James chapter 1, verse 27 teaches us something that any of us in this room can do at any time. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God, of our God and Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. I mean, do you know a child somewhere without parents? You know, a grandparent's raising them, or they're in a foster home, or they're in a children's home somewhere. You know, go see them. Go spend some time with them. Don't just mail in a check or drop money in the bucket. Go see them. Those children need the influence of adults in their lives. And Scripture says that's what undefiled religion is. That's got a little heart and soul in it. Do you know a widow that's lost her husband? I mean, do you know how much that lady might appreciate a two-hour visit in her home with a personal touch of love to it? Man, go see that person on Christmas morning if you want to make it even more special so she's not sitting there by herself. Invite her into your own family environment. You know, these are personal kind of gifts. And what it really is, this was said in our college class this morning, but it's the gift of presence. It's the absolute gift of presence, and it goes beyond something wrapped up in a box. You know, think of it this way too. What if your wife opens up a package with a note in it that says, "Honey, because I love you so much and want to give of myself to you, I promise to set aside an entire day each month over the next year for just you, and you get to pick out what we want to do." Now that's got heart and soul in it. But what if your husband was to open up a package? It's got a note in it that says, "Honey, because I love you so much, I'll fix breakfast every Monday morning and pray out loud about everything you're going to do over the next week so I can help get your week off to a great and godly start." Now that's a gift worth giving. You know, what about giving the gift to your children that you'll spend one Saturday a month with them and they get to pick out the activity of whatever you're going to do that day? That's giving personally, you know. And maybe you stop by the nursing home and you commit to someone, "Hey, I'm going to come by here once a month for the next year. If you're still here, I'm going to be back once a month for the next year, and I'm going to spend a full hour with you." Full hour with you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And for the wise men, they gave filled with joy. And I like that. I really like that. You know, they were thrilled, not just to find Jesus, but to have the opportunity to worship Jesus. And they were overjoyed to present their gifts. And that's a grace gift. That's what it's really about. It's filled with joy within the giver, but also the receiver gets filled with that joy as well. And I mean, you know, just think about it. When was the last time you opened up a package with a blender in it and you were filled with joy? You know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it might be a handy thing to have, but it's not that big of a deal, okay? Not a lot of heart and soul in that. But I'm going to flip that around. And I want you to think about it this way. When was the last time you gave a gift that brought a tear to your eye and to the person that you gave it to? When was the last time you had that experience? You see, those kind of gifts take a little bit of rethinking and a little bit of reevaluating. Matthew 2:11. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What we also see here is that the wise men, number four, they gave worshipfully. There was a high element, a pure motive of worship. Now, the wise men gave some very expensive gifts. I mean, have you ever received a bar of gold for Christmas? I haven't. I mean, that's a royal gift. Frankincense and myrrh were valued at almost as much as the gold back then. Not so much today, but it was back then. Actually, sometimes it was worth more than the gold itself. So this is not just some little gift. It's that big of a deal. But they also got down on the ground in a proper, humble, loving position before the king. And they worshiped him. They worshiped him. And they did it from joy-filled hearts. And once they had worshiped, then they presented the gifts to Jesus and Mary. And I'm sure Joseph was there, but dads don't get a lot of credit sometimes. So, you know, I know he was there. I know all three of them were blessed by these gifts. And that's a grace gift. That's a grace gift. And it brings me to this question. What's the Christian's motive for giving during Christmas time? Well, for any time period, it's because God gave to us. He loved us first, and we are to love Him in return. We're to give of ourselves to the Father, but also to other people. And it wasn't just that the Father gave, but Jesus gave absolutely everything He had. And we've got a lot of records of that in the New Testament, but the one that has stood out to me the most over the last couple of weeks of Scripture reading in my private time is 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. We know what real love is because Jesus gave His life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. I mean, why do we give? What's the purpose? What's the meaning underneath it? Because Jesus Christ gave Himself sacrificially for us. I mean, He's given us grace. And when we give grace to other people, church, we absolutely love our neighbors, but we give worship to its rightful place and love back to its rightful place to King Jesus. Now, that's pretty much all of the sermon, but I do have a story I want to share with you. And before I share this story, just in case you're thinking, you know, hey, Ryan, I want to give an expensive gift. Well, there's nothing wrong with an expensive gift. Go ahead and give that. I mean, people love gifts like that, and Lord knows I do too. They're good, but just don't forget to leave out the grace gift, the one that makes a true difference. But this is a true story that I think drives it home better than anything I could ever say. It was just a small white envelope with no name that randomly appeared among the branches of our Christmas tree. It has now been there for the past 10 years. It all began because my husband Mike hated the commercial aspects of Christmas, the overspending, the frantic running around at last minute, and gifts given in desperation. Knowing he felt this way, I decided one year to bypass the usual gifts of sweaters and fruitcake. I reached for something special just for Mike. Our son was wrestling on the junior high team just before Christmas, and he played a team sponsored by an inner city church. Their tennis shoes were falling apart. Our boys were dressed in brand new uniforms with professional wrestling shoes. I was alarmed to see the other team wrestling without headgear. That was a luxury the poor kids couldn't afford. We beat them so badly it was embarrassing. The look of defeat in their eyes made me want to cry. Mike shook his head sadly. I wish just one of them could have won. They have a lot of potential, but losing like this could take the heart right out of them. That's when the idea for his present came. That same afternoon, I bought brand new wrestling headgear and shoes, and I sent them anonymously to the inner city church. On Christmas Eve, I placed an envelope on the tree with no name. Inside was a note telling Mike that I had done that And that was his gift from me. His smile was the brightest thing about that Christmas. Each Christmas, I kept doing it. The next year, I sent a group of mentally handicapped youngsters to a hockey game. The next year, I gave a check to two elderly brothers whose home burned the week before Christmas. The blank envelope on the tree became the highlight of our Christmas every year. It was always the last thing opened on Christmas morning, and our children would stand around the tree, wide-eyed in anticipation as their dad lifted the envelope from the tree to reveal the mystery gift. As the years went by, the children never grew past the allure of the blank envelope. But the story doesn't end there. We lost Mike due to cancer right after that. And when Christmas rolled around, I barely pushed through the grief, and I placed a blank envelope on the tree with no name. And by morning, three more blank envelopes joined it. Each of our children had an envelope on the tree for their dad. The tradition has grown, and someday will expand to our grandchildren standing around the tree with wide-eyed anticipation, watching as their fathers take down the envelopes to tell them who has received the grace gift. Mike's spirit, like the spirit of Christmas, will always be with us. Please don't wait until someone's gone. Start a godly tradition with your family and use something like this to start your own. Now, church, we have not received the grace of God to keep it to ourselves. Amen? We are to give that away. I mean, isn't that what Christmas is really about? And it is. It absolutely is. The grace of God is meant to be given away. And all I can say in response to everything that's been said is that's an absolute grace gift. That's something worth giving to another human being. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one of us has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. May each and every one of us serve generously of ourselves and of our resources. And may this Christmas be one of those years that changes your life and the lives of those that you reach into eternally. I do want to say that I love absolutely each and every one of you, and I thank you for your generosity within my own life, within the lives of others. We just raised $2,000 on a love offering to help a young family. And beautiful. You are givers at the heart level, and I thank you for the way that you give of yourself, of your time, your resources, and of your lives. Right now, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if there is anyone here that would like to repent and draw near to the Lord our God, if you want to be prayed over, come forward. And if you're ready to be immersed into Jesus Christ, please come forward as we stand and sing.